Drums in, let's have a party. Pump up the bitter. Shh, testing. Pump up the bitter. Pump up the bitter. Pump up the bitter.
Starts off the show, but you're starting it off today.
Well,
why is that?
I don't know. You didn't say anything, so somebody had to say anything. Otherwise, we waste the tape, you know.
That's true. We were actually recording this intro in the car, and I'd spent a lot of time over the past weekend in the car because me and the lovely Kimberly went out for our anniversary weekend to the Galena Territories. Do you know where that is?
Yeah, I know. It's in the western part of the state of Illinois, like Idaho. I mean,
Iowa
border. I'm sorry.
Go.
And of course, I didn't partake because I let you two lovebirds just enjoy yourselves out there.
We did indeed. We did enjoy ourselves. But we brought back some beers from the Holy Trinity of Galena Territory Brewing, and that is the Lena Brewing Company, the Generations Brewing Company, and then, of course, Galena Brewing Company. So over the next couple of episodes, we're going to be taste testing those, and in this particular episode, we have an interview with Tim Coleman and Andy, whose last name I've forgotten because I lost his business card. Sorry, Andy. But anyway, those guys were brewing when we were there, and so they gave us a nice interview. So we'll talk to them coming up.
Wonderful, yeah. And Andy, I think Andy's just a nice guy. He doesn't need a business card to be a nice guy, right?
That's right. They are both salt of the earth, and they produce what I thought was pretty darn good beer. So I think without further ado, let's get into tasting some of the Lena brews.
Well,
because when you go to the Lena Brewing Company and you bring back one of their six bottled beers in bombers, all very reasonably priced, they give you six for the price of five.
Oh, that's a wonderful deal.
Yes, indeed it is.
Yes, and actually, Phil, I've been planning to go that part of the state for a long time, and now you're really encouraging me to go, so I think that eventually will happen now.
All right, that's a good thing. So we'll take a real quick break here, and we'll come back, and let's whip out a couple of Lena Brewing Company brews.
Let's do that.
Yvette, darling.
Yes, Freddy.
There's something I've got to do.
What's that? Oh, you've ripped my frock.
Steady on, old girl. They're my trousers.
Oh, God, my bra.
Oh, my socks.
Oh, my corsets.
Oh, Dapple Downs today at 11 o'clock. A story of every day. Oh, my script.
The Lena Brewing Company, Mark, is situated in the rolling hills of Illinois, or at least that's what their website says.
Right. You said it reminds you of your own homeland.
Oh, well, the rolling hills do out there in the Galena Territories. Right. It's very, very reminiscent of that. We headed out that way towards Galena for a weekend and stopped off at Lena Brewing Company. It comes up on you on Route 20, just in the middle of nowhere. All of a sudden, you go around this bend, and there is this enormous great big thing that looks like a great giant propane tank. And then on one side of it is Lena Brewing Company, and on the other side is, I think, the Rooster Restaurant, which apparently has quite a reputation in the parts, but only by virtue of the fact it's probably the only eating place around for like miles. But anyway, we stopped off. It was a Friday,
And that was the lovely Kimberly and I. And we went in and we thought, oh, it's a nice place. I wonder if the brewer's around. So we went back to the brewery and there were a couple of guys in there. And I was kind of looking through the door and a guy says, oh, come on in. So we went in, introduced ourselves, and we got to know Tim Coleman and Andy, who, as I said in another segment, I can't remember his last name because I lost his business card. Damn. But it'll be in the interview. So, yeah, there we go. So we had a real nice interview with them, and we'll play that in a minute, so that you can hear all about the brewery from the brewers themselves. I found it to be quite an enjoyable little place. It was a very pleasant atmosphere. It was very down home, if you will, friendly. It was just a real nice experience. And we purchased a few of their beers, and we're going to do a sampling of a couple of them here, one before and one after the interview. And joining us for this is John Kowalski. Hello, John.
Hello, Phil.
Ye of John's Tavern in Winfield, of course.
Ding, bless ding. You for saying
if I had
so.
The bell, ding, ding.
Indeed. There
we go. So the first beer that we're going to try is one of their best sellers, which is called the 38 Degree Hefe. Now, do you know what 38 degree means when it's referring to a Hefeweizen, which this is?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, because it doesn't, it's the number doesn't add up any which way I can figure out. They often say degrees, but it's degrees balling and gravity readings, but that number doesn't really mean anything to me. It's too big of a number the way I understand them, so I have to tell you, I don't know what that means.
Well, I don't know myself, and maybe they tell us in the interview, but it was about a week ago, so I've forgotten. It doesn't say anything about it on the website. However, whilst you open that bottle of beer that you have in front of you, I will tell you that they really have reasonable prices for their bottles of beer. The bottles, there were six of their brews that they have in these bomber bottles, and go ahead and pour that out, why don't you? Oh yeah, they just have plain tops to them, because we know someone who collects bottle tops. So the Hefeweizen was one of the beers that I sampled when I was out there, and I wanted to bring it back and see what you guys thought. So whilst you're pouring that out, Mark, you're very familiar with Hefeweizen as a style. Tell us what it should be like.
Well, it's basically a Munich base style. When the Germans introduced the purity law, they made a provision that the Bavarians can use wheat malt in their beers, which is not really part of the barley malt scheme that everybody else is doing. So it's a very old style, and normally it is cloudy, because they bottle ferment it and bottle condition it. And it develops the clovey, banana, citrus, bubblegum complex flavor profile depending on the temperature. You fermented it, you know, it depends on what yeast you use and what temperature. So it's mixture of everything, and everything is allowed, and it's okay any which way you like it. The northern Bavarian versions tend to be more citrusy and lighter. And the further south you go, the maltiness thickens, and they will have more sweet character in them, and same and body as well.
Well, I've had a sniff of this, and the aromas that I'm getting from it are exactly what you describe and what I would expect from a Hefeweizen. I can get the clove, I can get the banana. I thought it was a pretty good start when I sampled it in the tap room. John, you've actually gone ahead and gone to drinking it. I know, by the way, the color is a lovely kind of a golden color.
I would say the only thing lacking is the stuff in the bottle. It's not cloudy, and so I don't know whether they did something to... I know sometimes, like Hockerschor and some of the traditional German Hefeweizen makers, maybe we're, maybe, well, it's still, Well, he shook
up the bottle as a little bit. Now it does say it is unfiltered yeast, but definitely we're not getting a lot of.
We're not getting a lot of lot of stuff. So, but flavor profile wise, this is really, really, really close to, in my mind, to what I remember from Hocker Shore. It's a very traditional. All the flavors that Mark mentioned of what it should be. Probably it's a little more southern because it seems to me it's a little more malty and sweet.
Yeah, actually I made a mistake.
What? Hang on a minute. Stop the world. He made a mistake.
Yeah, I made a mistake. Actually, they recommend before you open this bottle, you roll it down, put it on the side, and roll it around so that the yeast gets moving from the bottom.
Really?
And then you pour it. That's why I was shaking it.
We used to do this.
Yeah, it depends on.
They can't see that on the radio, John. Oh. But you're rolling
it between my hands. Yeah. That's what we did
in a very nice and dainty way.
But it was a very traditional glass. There was a certain style glass you would always have.
It does have a specific glass, and you do the master pour and all that kind of stuff, which the Bavarians are very proud of. But I think this yeast is really well stuck in the bottom, so if you shake it really hard, it will come out. And as I poured you some more, it clouded up your glass a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. And it probably will come out because the yeast adds the character to the character of the beer.
And I will say that when I had it on draft in the tap room, it was a lot more cloudy. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a true effervescent look to it. So let's talk about the taste of it, because I'm getting everything that is. Oh, I know, he's got some. Yeah. I don't know why that was. Maybe it's been standing on the shelf for a long time.
That's what happened.
We did not read the instructions, so sorry about that, Tim.
Well, that's where I made the mistake. I knew that you have to roll it around first before you serve it. So I apologize.
And that sounds rather rude, actually, but there we go. Did you roll around, John? No, okay. So we have it poured out now.
The bottle, sir.
Ooh. All right, so the having got over the cloudiness, which it certainly will be eventually. Oh, look at that. I got the dregs.
Oh, I got
the chunky bits. What the problem was. Yeah. I got the bits floating in the bottom, which is okay. That's all protein, right?
Yeah, it's yeast.
It's yeast.
What can I say?
Is yeast protein?
I don't know. I'm not a food scientist, so I don't know.
No, okay. But it's a good bit. So let's talk about the flavor.
The flavor is, I agree with what John said earlier here. It has all the complexity of the flavors that typically are in this beer. I don't get too much bubble gum, but it doesn't matter. It's not required by any means. So
I'm kind of glad you don't get bubble gum, because I don't want bubble gum.
You get the more yeasty, it sort of rounds all the flavors out a little bit, and it's very delightful. I would think this is excellent.
I have to say, you had
a good taste buds going.
I had the good taste buds going, and then when you're there at the actual brewery, of course, they have a nice glass for it, and they'll pour it out nice and fresh. Mm-hmm. They have, there'll be some pictures on the website, but they have a really rather cool-looking tapper arrangement, which looks like an enormous great big pipe that goes from side to side, and you'll see a picture of it. But It just looks as if it all fits in out there. Very countrified, very relaxed, very friendly.
Yeah, I would say I tasted it a second time now, and I think this has been sitting in the bottle for a little while because I get some Band-Aid kind of character in it at the end, which is kind of part of the phenolic character of the beer. But it's not really desired, but you get a little bit of Band-Aid out there. See, this beer is very sensitive to age. It just has to be right when you ship it out, and then you have like 3 weeks or 4 weeks to drink it, and then you start going downhill. So it's very, very sensitive how long you keep it around and when you drink it.
Yeah, I was looking on the bottle here to see if there was a best buy date, but I don't have my glasses, so I really can't see. I don't know if you can see anything on it. Overall, you know, taken that this is a Hefeweizen from the bottle and it may have been sitting around for a while, it still has stood the test of time and I think is a really tasty brew.
Oh, yes.
And I will have to say that on draft, it was quite delicious.
I
and it was like about a 85 degree, 90 degree day.
Right, I appreciate this.
So this was perfect.
Yeah, I appreciate the beer. Yeah, the beer is good. I have no problems with it. Yeah. It's just being around a little bit too long. And it's
kind of like us, Mark.
Oh, yeah. How appropriate.
Okay, there's no dates on it, so we're okay.
What I'm saying is it's very well made beer to the style, mm-hmm. and I like it. So it can be, it could have been sitting in the bottle for a while. That's fine. We let
and
that
it,
go.
And it has been in a cooler on its way back from there for a couple of days, and of course the cooler's up and down. I tried to keep it as cool as possible, but you know. Mm-hmm. So our first beer, the Hefeweizen, are we giving it a thumbs up?
I'll give it a thumbs up. The little side note about the Band-Aid stuff.
Yeah, okay, there you go. And John?
Thumbs up. I have a little harder time with Band-Aid, but I'm sure that if we were drinking it...
So do I, a damn charity.
If we were drinking it right out of the tap, I'm sure that we would probably be quite pleased.
Yeah, I think it's a crowd pleaser, and on, as I say, on a very hot day, and as they are in right in the middle of the rolling countryside of corn and God knows what else, this is just really
Jesus,
so delicious.
Jesus left his sandals.
What?
Jesus left his sandals there.
Where?
Out by Lena.
Oh, he did?
Yes, he did.
Wow, little known fact.
Yes.
And after that, after we've insulted all the Christians, we'll take a break. I'm on a weekend anniversary trip with my lovely wife, Kimberly, and she's here with me.
Yes, I am.
And we're headed out to Galena. But before you get to Galena, you hit Lena. I don't know where the GA came from, but there you go. So in Lena, we have the wonderful Lena Brewing Company. We stopped by, and they're brewing today. And believe it or not, Tim Coleman, who's the brewer out there. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
Said, yeah, come on back. I said, can I have a small interview with you? He says, sure, come on back. They're doing the... what are you doing? Which one are you doing? You've got the built-in break and your...
Pog Mahon.
Oh, that's the amber ale?
Yes, sir.
And and you've got a built-in break because?
Because we're mashing for an hour and...
There you go.
We usually have a beer or we do something else.
Absolutely.
Clean kegs or whatever. Or talk to people.
There you go. So thanks a lot for... You know, we just like come by and there you go.
Oh, anytime.
This is a great little spot. You got a super tap room so far from what I've seen. I've tried a couple of the beers, and I've also... Hello!
How are you?
That's the president of the company.
Oh, that's the president. Hi, Mr. Hello. President.
You can tell he dresses really nice.
He has a collar shirt.
There you go. That's also a chef across the street. So.
Oh, right. And that's that place that's closed right now, right?
Rafters? I think it's open.
Oh, it's open. Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to the brewery. So you have what I'm looking at to be, what is it? What size brewery?
15 barrel.
Okay, yep. I was going to say, it looks like you got quite a few of the old bright tanks over there.
Yeah.
How long have you been open?
It's a little over 2 years.
So you're just about at the point where you know if you're going to make it or not, right?
Yeah, I think we're going to make it. Andy's brewery ops manager here, Andy Lamb, is...
Hi there, Andy. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. You?
Yeah. Absolutely peachy. Now I've got a beer in my hand.
We're definitely going to make it. We're looking at expanding and... So we're not wondering if we're going to make it or not.
That's really good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
So you are about, 20 miles from Galena, right? Which 40? I think is, 40. 30, 40? It's a ways on.
Literally.
Yeah.
You'll make it.
Yeah. So where do you distribute to, first of all? How did you, start up in what I would consider to be a small Illinois town? You know, it's historic, I know. I don't know what it's historic for, but maybe you can tell me.
Well, I'll let Andy take that. He's more of a longtime resident of the area than I am.
So tell us about Lena.
Yeah, Lena is a small town, and what we like to say is we're in the middle of somewhere, not in the middle of nowhere. And, it's right along US 20 here. It's just famous for making cheese, has a meat producer here in town also. And it's just a good, historic, nice downtown.
What sort of cheese are you famous for? All sorts, or a specific sort?
They make a bunch of different kinds of cheese. I'm not sure what they're famous for.
But it's cheese.
Yes, but it's cheese.
That's good enough.
And it's good cheese.
And you know what goes good with cheese, right?
Wine? No.
No.
No beer. No. Beer.
Yeah, this is a big wine country, but I'm glad to say you've hit the mark with the beer, right? So
that's right.
How did?
And so you're asking too, how far we distribute that kind of thing. We've got two different distributors right now from our area here down south to the town of Dixon. Mm-hmm. And then all along the Mississippi down to the Quad Cities, and then kind of hooks around towards Champaign-Peoria area. We self-distribute also. Our license allows us to self-distribute, so we self-distribute farther east toward Chicago in mm-hmm. Rockford. And also we're licensed to distribute and self-distribute in Wisconsin.
So oh, wow.
Madison, Milwaukee, Monroe, a few of the small towns up there.
So. You're going to be up at the Madison Beer Fest?
I hope so. We're new enough to where we're still on a waiting list, and we should know within the next couple of weeks whether we're
I hope so. Well, we'll see you there. We're going.
Oh, excellent. Very nice.
So you've been open for 2 years. You've got a nice 15-barrel system here. You're brewing at the moment, the Amber Ale. What else have you got going on?
Oh, we've got some beers. We got our Oktoberfest. We're getting ready for the fall that we're lagering right now. We had a Belgian quad we just took out and put in the bright tank. We're going to carb and keg. We got plans for a Radler and a Gosa that we're working on. And we also have, you can kind of see them up there, three little old whiskey barrels that we're aging some bourbon barrels. So we're aging some beer in there.
What sort of you're aging in?
We got a Belgian quad in one, Scotch ale in the other, and we had the English stout also. So we had three
the
different.
The one that you've got on nitro.
That one's not the bourbon barrel aged one. That's just
no,
the English.
That's just the regular, yeah. But you put it in here, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's doing some time in the barrel, and it's going to be excellent.
What is the most popular brew that seems to be in this, but in the immediate area here?
Right now, I would say it's the Hefeweizen.
Really?
Because of the summer. All winter long, we sold the caramel pecan coffee stout like crazy. And then when the weather turned warmer, people's tastes changed a little. So the Hef is right up there.
So tell us a little bit about the brews that you do. Now, I have had a chance to taste your Hefeweizen, and it's definitely on the banana side. And you were saying you were going to tone it down a little. Tell us the story.
Our next batch, well, we're always wanting to tweak a little bit on the beers. I'm never satisfied. That's just my personality type. I want to always improve something. So we brewed the next batch, and we went down a little on the banana, up on the clove, mm-hmm. Ever so slightly. Not so much that it's going to scare anybody off. But we like to, Andy and I both like to tweak on the beers and make them better. And
right, yeah, from batch to batch.
Batch to batch, yeah.
So I've got in my hand the Rope Maker IPA. Now, of course, names of beers always have some type of history. Where did that come from?
I'm going to let Andy tell you that story again, too, because that's
my story.
Is my story.
My story, yes.
Yeah, so Rope Maker kind of comes from the fact that rope is made of hemp. Hemp is from the cannabis family. Hops are from the cannabis family. The hops actually grow up a piece of hemp twine when they grow. All these things kind of tie together
you're gonna hang yourself here.
And the whole thing's kind of a made up story because my grandpa was a famous rope maker here in Stevenson County.
Really?
I really named it after him. So
wow, how cool is that? But it all ties together, as you say, right?
It does all tie together. Unintentional pun.
So tell us about Rope Maker IPA. I think it's 7.4, right? Which I went. Oh, hello, nearly double.
7.4% alcohol true in it, but its bitterness rating is about 80 IBU, which puts it right to the place where it's really drinkable, but doesn't just make you think you got nothing but hops in it.
I'm telling you, it doesn't taste like 80 IBUs. Yeah. It tastes a lot less than that. If you were to ask anybody, I bet they put it in the 50-60.
Yeah, 80 IBU is what it is. It's West Coast hops. It's Cascade Centennial, really drinkable. In this area, just a really nice IPA without trying to go over the top and what we call blow your head off with hops. So.
Yeah, right, exactly. Other ones on tap you got out there?
Oh, we have the English Stout on Nitro, which you're going to try before you leave.
Now, tell me, what's the difference between an English Stout and an Irish Stout? Well, I know, but I want you to tell the listeners.
I probably stumping me on that one off the top of my head.
We speak proper. Not like that.
Oh. That's, you know what? I'm from the area, and I went to Rockford School, so I apologize. I'm lucky if I can tie my own shoes.
Well, I'm certainly glad that I came in at this time when
maybe
you have an English style on.
Rockford Schools.
maybe you won't be able to sell that now that England has voted to leave the European Union.
Yeah.
You're going to have to call it something else, maybe. I don't know. Who knows? So the English stout's on nitro. What made you put that on nitro?
It just gives it a smoother mouthfeel, the creaminess of the head, and it just it fits an English stout perfectly, you know, to be on a nitro tap.
Nice.
So.
And then tell me about this caramel
pecan
coffee stout. Yeah.
Right. That's a nice. We use 15 or so pounds of Door County coffees. So we'll steep in there for a couple of days after the beer is brewed. And I know it's just a really nice stout to start with. And we'll put that coffee in there. It's caramel coffee, pecan coffee, and just let it soak a couple of days. It's awesome.
Nice.
You're going to try it.
I am going to try it, definitely, yeah. You also had brewed something on the lighter side that I was asking about. You're calling it the Lena Classic.
Lena Classic Ale, yeah. That's an American ale, kind of a California common beer. 17 IBU, it's pretty much nothing for hops. Just a real light summer, nice drinking beer. And Andy and I like to call it our gateway beer for the people who maybe aren't so crafty that come in. To the craft
the tranny
brewery.
Beer, as we call
and,
it.
Yeah, training wheels.
Yep. On
transition. Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, gateway beer, a starter beer, whatever, and we'll get them on that, and then we can offer them a Hef, or we can say, no, that you like that, maybe you want to try
That's
this,
right.
and open them up to something new.
I like that.
Yeah.
You've got big plans for the future. Are you going to expand?
We're wanting to expand, yeah. We left some room here, as you can see, and some connections to the glycol, and yeah, we have plans to add some more fermenters and bright tanks.
And then you bottle, I see, because as we came in, you had quite an extensive bomber size collection there that you could purchase.
22-ounce bombers. They're done by hand, mostly by Andy's lovely wife, Jonna, who's not here to take the credit. But
so it's a real family business.
It is a very family business.
Okay.
Yep, my wife comes over and helps us, too, with the keg cleaning and other little jobs. But
that's your bottling station over
there,
right?
Andy built that.
Really?
Two-headed counter-pressure filler done by hand.
So it almost seems like out here, and I will say in the middle of the wilds, because we really are quite in the middle of cornfields, and that's typically what Illinois is here, you have to kind of take care of business yourself, right? So you have to be a little engineer, you have to be a little mechanic, you know, and a brewer as well.
Yeah, we take pride in doing things by hand. The beer's made by hand, and you know, you've looked at the different things that are around the tap room and all, they're made by hand, including things in the washrooms, and so the bottling is no different. Tap handles, all that thing, are all done by hand, and we do it because we like to do it. It's all about the working guy in the agricultural area. That's the whole theme of the brewery,
and that's really cool, because then at the end of it, you know, we always say that the end product from craft breweries is your passion in a beer form, right?
Absolutely.
And it seems like you're encapsulating that here. You made a comment about the washrooms, and I thought that was really cool, because what have you used as the urinals?
Yeah, so we took...
Or is it urinals? I never know.
It's urinals in this country.
Thank you.
It's urinals. And it's a little different than just doing it up against the wall like I've seen in other countries.
Damn French.
We took a couple of regular stainless steel half barrels, and we took them to a stainless steel welder guy who's kind of an artist. And one barrel he cut in half, he made two sinks out of it, and had some nice temperature-controlled tapper faucets put on it. And then the other one, we just decided we're going to make it into a urinal. It's kind of a recycling program. We take it out of a half barrel and we put it back in one.
And I did like the touch of having the Coors Light keg topper on it. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, and I think that's
we'll
just,
leave that there we'll so just, we don't
we'll
insult
just,
them.
We'll just say that I needed something to cover up the keg top, and that was handy.
Yes, I think that's a good idea. And of course, the taps you got are actual look like little beer tappers that you've got for the taps, which is it's really not. I mean, it's I hate to say it, but it makes you want to go to the bathroom to walk and look at all this stuff. I tell you.
I think he's done one of those in our bathroom.
Yeah, there we go.
Wow. I think it's just part of the tour. Years ago, down in Branson, Missouri, places like that, they started making their bathrooms fancier and fancier and made it part of the tour. So That's what happened here.
Okay, so if anybody's heading out this way to Eastern Illinois, tell them where they can find you. Address. I bet you don't know the telephone number.
I bet I do.
Oh, all right. Because we always ask brewers that, and they never know.
Yeah. Let me think about that. 369-2588, area code 815-369-2588. And the address is 9416 West Wagner Road here in Lena, Illinois.
Okay. And you're open, what, every day of the week?
No. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The best thing to do is to look on our website, lenabrewing.com. Thursday, it's half price, growler fill day, and a little bit longer hours, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
And do you have like music going on or anything?
We do. Cool. There's always music playing. We vary it up quite a bit. You'll never know for sure what's going to be playing.
That's always good. So final questions for you. What do you like to drink as a beer, Tim?
Right now I'm drinking the Rope Maker quite a bit. I'm enjoying the Rope Maker and the Hefeweizen this summer.
There you go. Yeah. How about non-Lena beers?
Oh, non-Lena beers. Not too many very often. Wow, you got me on the spot. I'll drink anything you can put it in front of me.
All right, good man.
Yeah.
Yeah, we try to say our job is to try every kind of beer there is out there, and yeah. So far we're only so good at that job, but we're trying to improve.
Scratching the surface, as they say.
We are, and it's hard to keep up because in the United States, a new brewery opens about every 16 hours, and they make another 6 beers, and I just can't hardly keep up.
We cover the suburbs in Illinois, and we're just behind the eight ball trying to get everywhere that's popping up all over the place. When you're brewing, do you like to play music?
We do, and right now we're playing just some classic rock. Sometimes it's Creedence Clearwater, sometimes it's AC/DC.
There you go.
You never know. That's kind of our age group right there. So.
And we were listening to that coming out.
Yeah, we were.
That's good.
Perfect.
Tim, you like that too?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. AC/DC all the way. I love them guys.
Yeah, that's cool. That's great.
That's awesome.
Well, guys, thanks very much indeed for the real impromptu interview.
No problem.
Much appreciated. I'm going to go back and try some of the other beers. I'm going to pick up some bottles and then we'll... review those on the show. We'll get the expert Mark to take a sip of those, and then he'll be able to tell you if it's good or bad. And he better say good.
Hey, we like feedback. We'll take any.
That's right.
We'll take any time.
Cool. Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks very much. I'll let you go back to your mashing.
Thank you.
Have a good amber.
Okay.
Take care, guys. Hold cheers. There you go.
That's right.
Mark.
Yes, sir.
The next beer we have, I'm going to tell you to kiss my ass. And you know why?
Well, that's the name of the beer.
That's correct. It is a amber ale done Irish style, and it's called Pogmatoin.
Right. I didn't take it personally.
And they have a picture of a donkey or an ass on the front of it. And so crack this open, John. This is actually one of their real... big sellers down there. For some reason, everybody likes this amber ale. It's a tribute to Ireland, and apparently it's a sweet, malty, medium-bodied, light brown ale. So pour that out, and let's have a look and see what we got. What do you know about amber ales, Mark?
Amber ale is one of those categories that fit in the middle of something. It kind of fills in the gap where there is no beer. When it's a pale ale, and then you have others stronger like the IPAs and stuff like that, or brown ale. So they created amber ale. Basically, that's very much an American style.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So, because I mean, the amber ale that I know, and of course we reviewed the variations on it in the last show, was it the last one? There was the Fat Tire Amber Ale from New Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
Now this one comes out, it says it's a light brown ale, but I'm looking at the color and it's actually quite dark as far as I'm concerned. What do you,
Mark, didn't they call the Vienna Lager an amber ale also? No, that's totally something else. Ale and lager and all that stuff, that's all two different sides of the same house.
That's true.
So it's not, but amber ale is pretty much an American style. and created to put in the middle and classify in these amber-colored beers that don't fit in any other category.
Amber-colored beers. Okay, so we have an amber-colored beer here that apparently is quite popular in the at the Leaning Brewing Company, one of their best sellers.
And I just want to say that wasn't very scientific what I said just recently.
We like it, yeah. Maybe not scientific. We like you to loosen up there a
right.
lot.
Right. Thank you, sir.
So I'm giving this the nose, and I'm getting a very malty, typical amber ale smell. I'm not getting much else. I'm getting the malts.
Oh, there's also a little nutty character.
Nutty character. That's yes, it. That reminds nuts. Me. Of that. Now, nut brown ale. That's not an amber. That's a type of brown ale.
Well, so. That's where your English people make the nut brown ale instead of amber ale, and it's kind of they are close cousins, I would say.
John.
Yes, Phil.
You've sniffed it. You've tasted it.
Yes.
What do you reckon?
I'm not overly fine.
It's that amber ale area.
I always have trouble with these sort of
me too
things.
I do too,
and because I don't know really what they're trying to say, and it just seems like actually like what Mark was talking about with the nut brown ales and everything. Mm-hmm. That's sort of I sort of like those better than
also amber. Also this one. Say an American amber ale, it doesn't have enough hops to be an American amber ale. It doesn't have enough the hop backing. I don't know what the IBUs may be in it, but it really doesn't have enough to be a true American amber ale. But it's kind of soft, easy drinking beer to me. Clean, no brewing flaws, that kind of stuff. So it's just a matter of your personal preference, I think.
Yeah, well, it's sort of innocuous, though. I mean, it's sort of just there.
It's just there. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's one man's opinion. It's 4.5% ABV, 20 IBUs, so I would say, yes, that is on the lower end, but we all know that just because they're low stats, that doesn't mean to say it's not a good beer. Now, I have to agree with John in that I wouldn't call it innocuous. I'm just not an amber ale fan.
Yeah.
It's just not one of the ones that
probably
fits in.
Fair.
However, having said that, this one has straight up no-nonsense flavors. If you like something malty, if you like something nutty, this is going to do it for you.
Yeah, it has that those malts that produce a nutty character for beer, and I think it's easy drinking. I wouldn't call it exactly lawnmower beer, but
it's pintable.
It's pintable, yeah, definitely. Yeah. When it's well made and it's clean and there's no issues with it, so yeah. I would drink a pint of this.
Yeah, I think if you wanted something a little different in terms of you don't want an IPA or a Kolsch or something like that, you want something with a little bit of a brown feel to it, which is what it has, right? It has a brown feel. This will work for you.
Yeah, I like the beer, regardless of whether it's in the style or category or whatever, but to me, it's a little more than just a light ale, or like they call it, blonde ales that rather tasteless, excuse me to say that, but you know, this has some more depth, but it's still kind of a blonde ale otherwise.
Yeah. So on our rating scale of thumbs up, thumbs sideways, thumbs down, I'm going to start the ball rolling. I'm going to give it a thumbs sideways because I'm not an amber ale fan, but this is quite a, you know, it's an okay brew. I'm not turned off for it. I'm not going to push it away. I think it's okay. So if you don't like that, then you can poke my thoin.
Ditto.
Ditto from John.
Well, I kind of have a sideways a little on the upper, turning up a little bit, because I give Brewer the credit making a really good, technically very good beer. So that's why I like it.
And I am noticing there's a certain dry finish to it. Now, I've had several sips of this coming in. But I would say that it's always worth giving a try to all the beers. It's been interesting trying these, and thank you very much to Tim and Andy for us jumping in on their brew cycle, which just happened to work out good because they were in the middle of doing the mashing before they moved it over to the Lauterton.
Lauterton.
The Lauterton. Yeah. See, I learned something from
that. Okay, if you speak German, we can say Lauterton.
Lauterton. Yeah. Yeah. So we had a great conversation. Absolutely the most hospitable, friendly people out there at Lena. I would advise everybody to go out, give it a whirl. Give it a try. We've got a few more beers from them. They have six of their brews they have more than six, but I was able to get six of their brews. Mm. So we'll come back in another edition because we haven't covered the third brewery in the Holy Trinity of Galena Territory Breweries, and that's Galena Brewing itself. So we'll come back in another episode at another time, cover Galena Brewing Company, and maybe come back and try some of the other Lena ones, because I think we need to let people know about these places.
Yeah, you made me curious now.
It is a short driving distance.
It is.
Out there. It's a pleasant weekend trip.
Oh, it's a wonderful trip.
So, and there's wineries out there. It can please your spouse who maybe isn't into beer or whatever.
Here's a thought. Send them off, spouse or spousal unit, whichever.
There
send them
go.
Off shopping.
Yes.
And then you just go into the breweries
and drink beer.
I'll meet you. Okay.
Yeah.
Especially in Galena.
Sounds like a plan to me.
Yeah, I think so. Gentlemen, it's been a gas here today. I thank you very much for participating in some of the Western Illinois breweries that we hope will be more of.
Huh? Northwestern.
Northwestern?
Yes.
That's a university, isn't
Indeed.
It? Yeah,
Indeed.
Yeah, okay.
And a hospital.
Yeah, okay. Western. You know, what's Western then?
What's Western?
As opposed to Northwestern. I went west to get to this place.
Well, there's Molina and the Quad Cities.
Yeah. All right. There we go. So, anyway, it's damn close to the Mississippi. Good stuff. More Illinois brewery check marks.
Remember how excited you were when you were little and Dad said, road trip? Well, it's your turn now. It's just a short drive west to authentic Lena, Illinois, where you'll find the superb craft beers of the Lena Brewing Company and the unforgettable Lena Mercantile and Eatery. Stop for a bite. Do a little shopping. It's time for a road trip. Come see us in Lena, Illinois.
We've reviewed a couple of the Lena Brewing Company's beers. And they were very nice to give us an interview out there. Tim and Andy happened to catch them when they were brewing on Friday. But while we were down out that way, we also went to Generations Brewing Company, which is out of Freeport. And the brewers over there are Matthew Davis and Steve Winter. We're sitting here enjoying the beers and joined by Ken McMullen, head brewer over at Hop Vine Brewery. Hello, Ken.
How you doing, Phil?
Doing very good. We thought it would be interesting to get a brewer's viewpoint of another brewer's beer. Because here we are, Mark and I, we always tasting these beers, and I always look at it from a drinker's perspective. Mark looks at it from a drinking and a beer judge perspective and looks at more of the technical side of it. So we thought, hey, how about a brewer? What does he reckon? Is he going to get some sort of an idea here that may go forward? So the first howler that we have is something called Cherry Tsar. Now, that's the Russian Tsars, because this is a Russian Imperial Stout. This is a 10.4 on the Richter scale, and 58 IBUs. And the interesting thing about this is that they used cherry wood smoked barley to dominate the roasted malt character. Now, the last time I tasted cherry wood smoked barley was when I was at FOBAB last year, 2015, and I was actually pouring at the Classics booth. And one of the Classics was an amber ale. Now, I don't like amber ales, but there was this wonderful brewery. I think it's called the Old Town Brewery out of Cincinnati or Cleveland. I can't remember now, but they used cherry wood smoked malt in this amber. And it really changed the amber to be an absolutely delicious, and it was a barrel age, so it was a really delicious beer. So we've got this in front of us. What do we think? Ken?
Well, you said it's called Cherry Tsar, so my initial thought is it's made with cherries, right? So it's going to be a sweet stout.
Yeah.
But the cherry edition is just smoked, cherry wood smoked barley. right?
Yes, I'm looking here to see if it says it has any cherries in it, and it doesn't actually say it contains cherries, but cool. I've got a feeling that they may have put some in. I don't know, but
it's very sweet and cherry in the aroma.
Yep.
It overwhelms everything else. It just, that's pretty much I get. Not much else, you know, like Imperial Stout, you get maltiness and all kinds of stuff, but this is just cherry all over the place, so.
And it's slightly tart.
Okay, you already tasted, so.
Yeah, I had a little taste while you were talking there, Mark. What about the rest of the back of it? I mean, is this, do you do some type of an Imperial Stout? I know you do.
I make
Ukrainian Crusher, right?
Yeah, that's a Russian Imperial. I always age it at least on oak. Toasted oak spirals.
Okay.
The version on right now is barrel aged, but yeah, I love Russian Imperials.
Yeah. So how about this one? Do you get any nuances in it?
Actually in the aroma, I didn't get as much sweetness, and I was looking for cherries initially, but when you said cherry, you know, the smoked malt, looking for that smoke, and it's subtle at
it's
best.
Subtle.
It's very light.
Yeah,
the smoke is hard to detect, but the cherries are there, and the maltiness is not there like Ken says. I don't get it either. It's just cherry all over the place.
Just cherry. Well, they must have used a really good cherry wood malt. So, is that an expensive malt to buy because it's specifically processed?
I don't know. I've never bought.
Oh, you've never used it?
I've never used it. In fact, I make a smoked beer here, but I smoke pumpkins. We have a smoker in the kitchen,
right.
So I'm not sure.
Hey, wait a minute. You're not allowed to smoke in the kitchen. What's going on?
They may have smoked their own malt, though. So, I mean, the cost, I don't know about the cost. I don't buy smoked malt. I would smoke it myself if I was going to use smoked malt.
Yeah, I mean, I have dealt with all kinds of smoked malts. I never heard cherry smoked malt. So that might be their own thing. They might have just homemade.
So these guys, as I say, in Freeport, Illinois, which is kind of halfway between Lena and Galena out there in the Galena territories, it's a real interesting place because it's built in a large old barn-looking utility building. It's newer, but when you walk inside, they've separated off the tap room to the brewery, and they've got, I think it was a 20 barrel system, something like that. It's quite high in terms of what they can produce. And when it's unfortunately none of the brewers were there because we were there on a Sunday, but they said it was a father-son type thing going on. And they do like to do some traditional beers. This, a Russian Imperial Stout like this, I think is traditional to Russia, but
It's not really traditional. They never use cherry wood malt in the Russian Imperial Stout, so that's their twist on it, but it's not traditional by any means. And also, what I notice, it's pretty light bodied. It's not like the thick engine oil type that I'm used to in this category. So what do you think?
It's light. It's definitely lighter bodied. I don't get the heat from the alcohol either. But what I'm thinking is they may have added a cherry-like slurry in secondary, and that fermented down and thinned it out. And I'm betting that's how we ended up where we're at here. It's tasty, though. It's clean.
Yeah,
and
yeah, it is. I think it's... I found this to be one of the most delicious ones that I had there, and I enjoyed a flight of about six of the different varieties. And I also brought back another one, which is... Oh,
yeah, I was just saying thumbs up, thumbs down time.
Oh,
I would
say
thumbs up for me anyway.
So, Ken, we have a very simple rating system. We either like thumbs up because we like it, thumbs down because we don't, or halfway, or you can be slightly over, up, or down. Halfway is you're a little bit indifferent. So a thumbs up.
I'm going to say thumbs up on this one.
All right, thumbs up from Ken. That's good. Good for them, guys. I also brought back one, which was, it's an oak aged Irish strong ale. Let's take a break and then I'll whip that one out so you can taste that.
Yeah, we'll do that too.
Don't try and dig what we all say. I'm trying to cause a big sensation. I'm just talking about my generation.
the second beer that we got from Generations Brewing Company is one that I thought was kind of interesting because I had never tasted this before. It was an oak-aged strong ale. Now, apparently, they put this beer in with oaks, whiskey-soaked oak spirals to recreate, I'm reading this, sweet and warming vanilla flavors of barrel aging. So it wasn't really barrel aged. We've got some samples here. What do you think, guys? Oh, Mark, you've had a chance to sample.
Yeah, right? I kind of...
just aromas?
Aromas. It's kind of sweet, on the sweet side. You don't get much hops, and there is something like, once you read vanilla, with imagination, I could say that that's there, you know. It's not very prominent so that you can say, yeah, this is vanilla, but it's very subtle.
Can. Yeah, aroma's very light. More sweet.
Yeah.
A little malty sweetness. I don't get much of the, the quote, barrel aging characters.
Well,
or the whiskey
characters. And that was it.
It was whiskey soaked?
It was, what did they say it was? Yeah, whiskey soaked oak spirals.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, okay, as the average consumer, I had to do a double take on that because I'm thinking it actually is a barrel-aged beer. But it wasn't, and I got the lightness. And then I went to taste it, and I had to have a couple of tastes before I really got into it.
Yeah, the whiskey is there, definitely, but it's very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of some, how would I say, not one of those heavy-duty Lagavulin type of, but more of the Oban kind of whiskies that are the light colored malty whiskies without the smoke. So that's there in the background, and up front you have maltiness, sweetness. The hop character is kind of mellow, I would say, in this one.
Yep, I get the main thing I'm pulling out of this is it's pretty viscous. It's a pretty the body is fairly full.
Yeah. And it's kind of smooth.
Smooth drinking. Yeah. The whiskey is subtle at best.
Oh, it's so subtle I couldn't taste it.
Right. So I've used oak spirals and soaked them in whiskey, and I've done it two ways. And the first time I did it, I put it in too much whiskey, and the whiskey pulls everything out of the wood, and when you take the wood out, you know, you get a little from it, but it has extracted a lot of the wood character. So it's better to put it in a little bit of whiskey. The wood soaks up the whiskey instead of the whiskey leaching everything out of the wood.
Okay.
So I don't know what they did, but it's the wood and the whiskey character are very subtle in this.
And I got the dryness that I tend to get from just oak barrels, right? To my opinion, if it's in oak, you like Two Brothers. They're big on their food rays. So when you get something from them, you're getting something that's a little dry, but then there's that subtle oakiness in the background.
But to me, the overall flavor profile is on the sweet side, though, I would say.
Malty.
Very
yeah.
malty.
So, yeah, that's interesting you say that, because here's what they used. The malt was English pearl malt. I don't know if you've ever used that. Red wheat, white wheat, mild malt. And then you got a couple, they got a lot of malts in here. C60, C120, and Black Prince. Those are the malts. There's more bloody malts than hops in this thing, I'll tell you. And then the hops are, of course, Galena hops, UK Fuggles, and the yeast is an American ale. Now, when I saw that the hops were Galena, because we were out in the Galena area, the Galena territories, I said, oh, is that where the hops came from? But apparently it isn't where Galena hops came from. They just happen to call them Galena hops. And that's so a lot of the breweries out there do it. In fact, Galena Brewing Company uses Galena hops a lot for obvious reasons, you know. Have you ever tried using those, Ken?
I've not used Galena.
Have you ever fuggled?
I have fuggled.
You fuggled?
And I have an amber that I make with Aurora hops, and we're in Aurora. So.
Oh,
but they're a Czech hop. Oh. A Slovenian hop.
So it's all different strokes for different folks and different names and where they come from. Well, you know, that's up
yeah,
to them.
Yeah, I think most hops of that sort, they grow on the West Coast.
in Willamette Valley and all yeah. those places. That's where they most come from. I never heard the Aurora Hop what you mentioned earlier, so that's something new to me.
Styrian
Aurora. Styrian.
Okay, that makes sense. No, okay, that puts it in the right place.
And Ken, you've got a bunch of hops growing outside here at Hopvine, right? And do you have any of those growing?
I don't.
You don't. Okay.
I got Cascade.
Pass on that one, then.
Cascade, Columbus, Magnum, Mount Hood, Nugget. I think that's it.
Okay. Sorry. Cool. Well, the final note on this beer, which I actually find to be quite a pleasant, easy-drinking beer, with a nice dry finish. I mean, at the end of this, I wanted to have another beer, which I guess is good for them. But the reason that they say this is done like this is it's going back to the old days when you didn't have aluminum kegs, or aluminium, as we say, kegs to take your beer around with, and you would carry it around in an oak barrel, and therefore you get that subtle oak barrel flavor. Now, whether there was whiskey in it, I don't know. If it's an Irish ale, you probably did.
Yeah, it's like I agree with, you know, I would give this one thumbs up also. And even though the viscosity is high, like you said, it's pretty full bodied, but it's still easy drinking beer for some reason. I think the flavors and the other characteristics, they blend together nicely, so I enjoy this one.
Yeah, and I liked it. That's why I got a howler of it. It's 6.9% ABV, 22 IBUs. I'm giving it a thumbs up. Ken?
Okay, so I think it's delicious drinking. If somebody's looking for a whiskey infused beer, mm-hmm. most Americans want it to like smash them in the face. This is not going to do that. This is delicious, but it's not an over the top whiskey beer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
In my opinion, it's a thumbs up.
Do we know what an Irish strong ale's profile should be?
Irish strong ale? I never heard anything like
that.
Oh,
there you go.
Okay. Made up style.
Hey, you know, if you can have any type of ale, we have an Irish strong ale, yeah. So that's Tawny Ale from Generations Brewing Company.
Thank you, Bill.
You know, overall, what do we reckon on the couple that you guys have tasted? Does it encourage you that... way out west.
Okay, if I may say, I would go out there and taste all the other beers too that they have, you know. I got curious.
There you go.
Yep. We go out to Galena every now and then. I'll definitely stop by there to check out the rest.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. We went out to what I call the Holy Trinity of the Galena Territory Brewing. There's Lena, there is this one in Freeport, the Generations Brewing Company, and then there is the Galena Brewing Company. And each one had its merits. It had a couple of ones that were regular type beers, and then they'd always have a special one. So I think we found at least a couple that are special from Generations. So that's really good. So, Ken, thank you very much for coming on the show here to help us drink some of the Western Illinois beers.
Yeah,
of course, we always like to drink Illinois, right?
Thanks for sharing beer with me. I'm always willing.
He likes a good beer, does he? Oh, by the way, we are recording this segment live at Hopvine Brewing Company, and I note that you have some rather nice looking tap handles that you've put on. You've refreshed your tap handles.
That's nice, huh?
Yeah. Can you describe them?
They're green. They're taller than every other tap handle on there.
That's what you want.
They're topped by an H, and then they're kind of the hop vine or bind is cut out in the center of the.
It's a bind?
It's a bind.
Oh,
actually,
really? I didn't know that.
It's a bind, not a vine. Yeah.
Oh wow. They must be. I think we talked about this a while back. The hops are. Not actual, they're not vines, but
no,
they're...
No, a vine has tendrils, like at Wrigley Field, it can grab onto things like brick, but a vine has spines on the stalk, and so they have to have things that they can grip onto, like rope. If you feel the stalk of a hop vine, it feels like sandpaper.
Do you get... So they're not big... They're not big. They're just
it's not
small,
big. It just feels like sandpaper. But it can. I've had them wrap around my leg, and not as I'm walking by watering them. And
as you're walking by, they wrap around your leg. It's kind of like day of the triffids.
I'm telling you, it catches your skin, and I've had a nice
really
red rope burn type thing on my leg from.
Oh, wow.
So.
Well, at least that's what he told the wife, anyway.
Anything on the knees? No, okay. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much indeed. It's been an absolute pleasure here. I'm glad to see that we were able to try another brewer's beers and be critical with them if we have to, but luckily we didn't in this case. So good luck, Generations Brewing, and thank you, Ken, and cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you. Mark, it's turning into a bloody geography lesson here.
Well, I like that. I had A plus in geography in
Did
school.
You?
Yeah.
A plus.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's pretty good. I got O level. Is that the same?
Probably.
Oh, okay. I know where England is. Do you know where Finland is?
Yeah, barely. Yeah, right. I know. Everybody knows where Iceland is, my friend.
And now you're supposed to ask me where England is.
Yeah. Where is England?
In the shit right now.
Britain Yankee!
Britain Yankee!
I'll have a pint now. Go, give us a pint. You got any tetanus?
A pint, please, Bob. Give another pint, please, Bob.